Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're most probably listening through a pair of headphones, which means I have the perfect sponsor with the perfect product for you. It's Studio, and they want to revolutionize the way people see headphones. Generally, fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and the high-tech ones are bulky and not design-orientated. Studio bridged that gap while emphasizing sleek, modern Scandinavian design. To get a 15% discount on any of their wares, go to studiosweden.com, which is spelled S-U-D-I-O-Sweden.com, and simply put in the code DTD when purchasing a pair of headphones.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
In an uncertain world, there is always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes. Today we speak to Quizmaster Jeff Carter about the world of trivia and pointless information. Jeff, isn't Quiz Nights just an excuse for people who would see themselves as non-competitive actually to brag and show off in good company?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say that there's a big competitiveness aspect to going to trivia in the first place and competing against other teams. But in general, I would say trivia is competitive in nature. I don't know.
But you know what I've always been struck by? Whenever I go to a quiz night, I always see a lot of people, especially women, who, if you're to ask them in their outside of their trivia personas, are you competitive? Are you competitive by nature? They'll probably end up saying no. So what is it, do you think, that attracts so many women and those types of people actually to a quiz or a trivia night?
Being in groups of friends is a big selling point. Coming out, having fun with everybody, getting drinks, getting food. But I would disagree with those people who would say they're not competitive. I think everybody is inherently a little competitive, and especially wanting to test what they know. There's the fun aspect of getting a question that nobody else knows and being able to just apply that knowledge to the team. And there's a good feeling with that. There's a thrill to trivia. That I would say competitive people would seek out.
So I understand that, you know, if I'm a group of people and there's some random question about political geography, what was the date of the Berlin conference? And I go 1870 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It actually wasn't 1870, it was 1888. But whatever, go with me on this, right?
Okay.
That I get a little frisson, a little thrill go up my leg, and I go, look at me, I'm so clever. Nobody else knew it was hosted by Bismarck in 1888, right?
Right.
But what do you get out of it, being a quiz master? What type of person puts himself up as the arbiter of all things knowledgeable?
I just have a draw to knowledge, I'd say, like things that I just like to look up. Research. I like finding out new things, coming up with questions that don't stump people, but they're able to pull from, like putting clues into questions that they're able to grasp at and get a type of guess or an educated guess towards, I'd say. I don't want just to be questions that are just you know it or you don't. I want there to be an aspect to it that a group of people should be able to come together and have an educated guess at that they can feel good about, and even if they don't know it, they can end up getting the right answer.
So tell us about this process of actually how you then formulate a question. So let's say a relatively intelligent and informed group of people won't necessarily know the answer at the start, but can work the way to getting the answer.
Right. So I look for common words that are common through two different categories. So let me give you an example. Let's give you a question. What term found in golf is also the last name of a character in a Broadway musical, Hamilton? So you have two ways of getting at that. You can either know the sport of golf, or you can know the Broadway musical Hamilton. If you know both of those simultaneously, you can make that connection pretty instantly, I'd say. But you might have two people on a team. One guy's a sports guy. Another person has seen the Broadway musical Hamilton. So you both start brainstorming terms from golf and names from Hamilton. And eventually you have that eureka moment where the one person says, there's a character named Hercules Mulligan. And then the golf person says, oh, Mulligan is a term in golf. And then they both have that connection. Like, okay, that is the word that matches both categories, and it overlaps for a character name and the term in golf. So you can come to a conclusion where two people come together that wouldn't have known the answer by themselves, but then can work it out and get to an answer that they're both 100% confident in.
So, you know what? That was fascinating. I'm kind of more fascinated by the thought process than I am by the answer. I'm definitely not fascinated by golf. It's a dreadful game for old men. How did you fall into being a quiz host? How did you fall into being a quiz host?
So the location that I host at now, I'd been going to for about a year or two. And the bar itself ended up closing on Monday nights. That was their new weekend. And the host wasn't able to do any other nights of the week. So they moved trivia to Wednesdays. And we're asking around to the regulars and seeing if anybody had interest in hosting. And it was something I had thought about doing originally or before that. But I wasn't sure how to get into it. I didn't want to approach a bar and come at them and say, I've never hosted before, but I'd love to give it a shot. But this opportunity, they were looking for somebody new. I had been going to trivia for a long time. I'd been collecting questions from all the quizzes I've gone to in the past. And
so what do you mean collecting questions? Like in the way that people collect like trading cards or comics or
Yes, I had
where do you put your questions, and how much are they worth?
I have a bit of an obsession with collecting questions, I'd say. When I go to trivia nights, I take pictures of all the rounds right before I turn them in. So I've got a list of answers there, and I can recall what the questions were later that night or later that week. And what I end up doing is typing them all up into an Excel file. So I've got
the answers
file
that people have given, the incorrect answers.
No, the correct answers. I make sure to either research or back up my answers. So my Excel file is kind of interesting. It's got a column for question, column for answer, and then I've got column for a source, which is usually a Wikipedia link or an article that backs up that I can reference where I got the question from, so I can remember which location, date.
Are you some kind of Rain Man? Are you some kind of like savant that doesn't go out much unless it's going to host quiz nights?
I wouldn't say that. I go to trivia a lot. I go to trivia a lot, but I do have a lot of other hobbies, I'd say. Trivia is a main one, but I go out a lot. I don't just stay home and research trivia. But going to trivia is a great way of getting content.
Be honest, is Wikipedia for you like porn?
It is not like porn. It is something that you can get into quite the rabbit hole going through, though. Like connecting multiple links and seeing related facts and then going down quite the path of then an hour goes by and you're like, well, how did I get to 18th century art? But yes, there's there is, Wikipedia is just such a great resource. It is incredible that it's free, or with the donation. They ask for donations every once in a while, but an incredibly free resource that everybody should take advantage of.
Which famous Spanish artist is notable for a painting of his execution of Spanish guerrillas at the hands of French Napoleonic soldiers?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot. That is quite a specific question. I don't think I've heard that
one
before.
I'm just responding to you talking about 18th century art.
Is this something you have in your wheelhouse?
The answer is Goya. But you said 18th century art.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I'm an expert in every topic. I would say I'm a... I don't have a topic that I'm specifically an expert in, but I like to know a lot of things about a lot of topics so that I'm able to contribute or brainstorm ideas and get a jack-of-all-trades sense of knowledge and get people to the right answer. I'd say is one of my aspects on the team.
And is that really the strength of a good kind of quiz master, that you know a little bit about everything?
I would say so, especially, but just by researching questions and coming up with questions, 50 questions every week gets me to, that enhances that jack of all trades aspect of it, of general knowledge. Just by having to ask so many questions gets me there, I'd say.
How important is the kind of the spread of the types of questions that you ask? Because I'm really narrow focused. I know about history, political geography, and then I know a little bit about contemporary music. Then after that, I'm lost. I know little about science, bits of the body, flora and fauna, as far as I'm concerned, and whatever. But, you know, history is always my wheelhouse. So tell me about how you get to know your audience and the types of subject matters which are best kind of covered by a good quiz host.
Right. So there's just the general topics overall. You can do movies, science, geography, sports, history. I've just got a list of a lot of ideas that I can fit categories into. And sometimes I'll go to that list of things and then brainstorm an idea based on those. But there's unlimited categories you can ask questions in: music, television, flags, psychology.
Flags.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Describe to me the flag of the country of the Seychelles.
So it's rectangular. It's got diagonal lines going up to the right. It's multicolored rainbow. It's, you know, red, yellow, green, white, blue. Just a random island off Africa.
Ass. All right, stop it. All right. Who was the colonial master of the Seychelles before it became independent?
See, that's history. That's not about the flag.
But we've gone on from that because you said, right, so it's a set of islands off the coast of Africa. So you know geographically where it is.
I know where it is, yes. I don't know the history of it. I'd say my studying of flags, or my interest in flags is limited to visual. The picture of the flag and the name, which the country is. I'm getting more into the geography aspect of where all these flags end up or where they're at. But going into the history of who the leaders are or anything like that, that'll stump me.
Music. Uh-huh. Music plays a big part of any quiz.
It does. It does. And you don't want, and some hosts rely on it more than others. They reward more points than I'd say. I want it to be a, you know, for in my opinion, I'd rather have music be a third of the answers, straight up trivia questions, a third of the answers, and then maybe a visual or picture round be a third of the answers. So you have a balance so that somebody who's either not good at music won't be out of it completely, and somebody who's really good at music won't dominate that night just on music alone. But music does play a big part in trivia. Just in general, having music rounds specifically, and you have to guess title and artist or year, or many hosts do it different ways. They play smaller clips and then ask for artist only, or clips without the title in it, and you have to guess title and artist. there's a lot of ways of going about a trivia round for music. And then you can ask just trivia questions about music, about artists, which who's the lead singer of specific bands or things like that as well.
Jeff. So you have this encyclopedic knowledge of like stuff, trivia.
Mm-hmm.
And how long has the Billboard Hot 100 been in existence now?
You're firing a lot of questions that I don't know when that started. I'd say 50s or 60s. Like 50s or 60s. Yeah. I'd guess 60s.
Okay, I would. I don't know the answer, so I was just guessing it was like the mid 50s. You know, I'm thinking there must have been a chart by the time Elvis Presley was doing his thing. So okay, so we're talking 60 odd years. You know, getting on for 70, but whatever. Right, because that actually wasn't the question.
Okay.
But my point was, if you've got 70 years worth of music, popular music, to choose from, why have you gone for Chasing Cars by Snow Patrol as your piece of music?
Yeah, that is my choice tonight.
For us. Yeah, why?
It came out when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that is just, I like the idea or the theme behind it, where you just slow down and spend that time with the one you love. I'm partial to it because one, it's one that I know the lyrics to. I'd say one that when it comes on, I'll leave it on and play it. Normally, I don't do that. Normally, I will guess title and artist, and as soon as I get that correct, I will skip to the next song. Just trivia. Knowledge and practicing my music audio rounds, but this one's the one I have a connection to. I'd say it's really one I really like, enjoy.
We'll do it all, everything on our own. We don't. Just lay here. Would you lie with me and just forget the world? I don't quite know how to say three words I said too much. They're not enough. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? Forget what we're told before we get too old. Show me a garden that's bursting into life. Let's waste time chasing cars around. If I lay here, if I just lay here, would you lie with me and just forget the world? They're all I can see.
just lay here? Would you lie with me and just forget the world?
That song gained a significant popularity in the US after being featured as the second season finale in what popular drama?
Grey's Anatomy?
Boom. You nailed it. Awesome. I gave you enough clues there and you got it. Well
yes.
done, sir.
Thank you.
So, you know when you've had a hard night down quiz mastering and you're kind of cuddled up with the one that you love, do you then just recite the lyrics of that, you know, instead of putting on a little bit of Barry White or something?
No, I don't seek out specific songs. I am one that plays on shuffle and guesses title and artist. So if I'm in a music mood, I have a playlist,
You're in a Gucci mood. You're in a, you know, a romantic mood. So what, you just have your music on shuffle so it could just play like Motorhead or like Death Leopard or what kind of craziness, Jeff? Set the mood, sir.
I don't know if music is, I don't know. That's not usually my go-to for setting the mood. I don't know. I mean, music's not really my forte. I'm not into music that much as others are.
Interesting. So you are some kind of Rain Man then, aren't you? you're kind of on the spectrum. I know you watch a lot of movies.
I do.
And in the last few years, you've been aiming to watch how many movies per year?
About 100, so...
Why? And why would you even count them? So what's that, every 3 days you watch a film? Why?
Interest in movies. I just enjoy watching movies. You get a lot of emotional aspects out of movies that you wouldn't normally be able to grasp onto. But just in trivia in general, movies come up a lot. Movie trivia is a big category that either knowing Oscar winners or knowing actors in specific movies or directors. A common theme is a tri-bond, which they'll name three actors and you have to name the movie. Or picture rounds come up and you have to name the year a specific movie came out. There's a ton of trivia related to movies that brings me interest in watching as many movies as I can to have more knowledge in movie categories.
So what film won the first Oscar for Best Movie?
Best Oscar picture winner back in the 30s.
Wouldn't that be about 1929 or so? You're hopeless. You're no good at this, are you?
Nope. You're not putting me on the spot for specific years and first. Nope. That's not. I will bring. What do you know the answer to that one?
You know, I don't. No. That was just pulling
questions out. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm trying to go off what you're saying. So I know so wasn't it the 70th Oscars this year? So 1928 would have been.
It would have been the 90s.
So it would have been 1928. Was 1928 the year of the jazz singer? Or was that 1929 at Al Jolson? That's the first speaky, isn't it?
That was the first, yeah, audio in a movie. That's a staple trivia question.
Exactly, but it's 28 or 29. I don't know. Anyway, so there's somebody furiously typing out on Wikipedia or just actually knows it, but it's one or the other.
The year that it came out, yeah. You're right on the money, 1927.
Oh, well, I wasn't on the money. I was out by a year or two.
Oh, did you say 28?
I said 28.
Yeah, it's 27.
Ah, all right. Boo to me. So, you like movies because of the data, because of the trivia, the information you can glean from them.
Yes.
Right? So I'm getting a sense, right, that everything that you do, you like to categorize it and put it on an Excel spreadsheet. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. That is the last few years has been dedicated to. Well, not dedicated to, but a lot of time has gone into remembering and going over trivia and going to trivia in general.
But can you truly enjoy something just for the experience of it?
Yes, there's thrills and highs of trivia, and then there's also lows.
That's the whole point. I'm saying, can you enjoy something, anything, in and of itself, for itself, or do you have to categorize it?
I mean, I play soccer every week, so that doesn't help me at trivia at all. Soccer questions are the least asked question at trivia, I would say. I play soccer every week.
That's because you're in the wrong country, but you've answered the question for me again because you've brought it all the way back to trivia. Jeff, I'm asking you about you.
No, I mean, escape rooms is a hobby of mine.
What are they?
Escape rooms, you get locked into a room for about an hour and you got to solve a bunch of puzzles and solve logic to get out.
That, to me, sounds like it's going down the same path, right? So,
But there's nothing trivia related to it. Trivia doesn't help you in an escape room solve
puzzles.
A puzzle.
It's quizzes. And you've said that the best questions are actually the questions where you work out the answer. So your analogy of the golf question, I thought, was brilliant. And you said, so there are two people who, one is maybe a golf fan, and one was I forget what the other thing was, and they can kind of come together and kind of, you know, brainstorm together. That's solving a puzzle, isn't it? The best questions are a puzzle, and you like to go to escape rooms, which is all about puzzling your way out of a room. So I say to you, sir, I repeat, can you enjoy something just for what it is, which has got nothing to do with the world of quizzes and puzzles?
That's a good question. Right now, I'm not coming up with anything. No, but there are things I enjoy regardless of trivia that then can tie themselves back into it. But like board games. I mean, they're also strategy games and logic games, I guess, as well. In that, what else is something?
You like to play football. Let's not call it soccer.
Okay,
it's a spherical object, which is a ball, which is manipulated mainly by the foot. It's football, right?
Yes, I can get on board with that.
Okay, do you think that maybe you need to emigrate, leave the United States? You can go somewhere to another country, any other country in the world, which has football as it's either major or one of its major sports. All right, so you can then ask some trivia questions about football.
That would be nice. I'd also go if I went to another country, somewhere that spoke English, because I don't have a second language.
But that's the thing about football. It's kind of a universal language,
right? You don't need to speak it to play.
You can just say Manchester United. And people go, yes, you know, Manchester United play in red, blah, blah, blah.
Right. To play it, you don't need the language. But to ask questions about it or to answer questions about it, you definitely need to know the language. So going to another country to play trivia or ask questions about soccer or football, that would be interesting. I would go to England for sure. Pub trivia is where, you know, it started, I would say. But that would allow me to ask more soccer or football questions, or come across more to answer and be able to use that knowledge, because it's a knowledge that I don't get to use very often, I'd say. But yeah, I'd go to another country to host and play trivia, but it wouldn't be to have an advantage on soccer questions. I mean, I wouldn't say. They live and breathe it in other countries. I don't know if I'd have a specific advantage in that category anymore. Here, I have an advantage in it if it ever comes up. Every once in a while, it comes up.
All right, here's a question for you. Who did the US beat? This is an easy lowball question for you. Who did the US beat in the 1950 World Cup 1-0, causing the losing team's media to think that the scoreline was a misprint and that they'd won 10-1. Now, subsequently, I've read that that's actually a myth, but it's in this country's media, whenever that 1-0 defeat to the United States is mentioned, they always bring up that myth.
Interesting. I mean, I know England tied 1-1 and it was counted as a win for the United States. I never heard this 10-0 thing. 1-0. I'd still guess England. I'll guess England.
Boom. Well done. Bel Horizonte, you knocked us out of the World Cup. We sent a team of part-time footballers. It was the time when England...
Is this when the excuses come up?
It's facts, sir. Facts, sir.
Okay.
So, what tips, what hints... do you have what insights do you have for somebody who wants to go along to a quiz night for the first time?
Have fun. I mean, don't go with the intention of thinking you're going to win. If you've never been before, go with friends, have fun, have conversation. I mean, trivia brings up a lot of conversations that you can have, things you never learn about somebody else. The best part of trivia is going, having fun with friends. And then there's also trivia questions that you can impress your friends with at the same time. I'd say it's a win-win on that aspect. If you go to have fun, you won't be disappointed, but there'll also be the opportunity of victory or rewarding questions. But if you go specifically to win and you don't do that, you're just setting yourself up for failure. You'd be surprised what people remember. Even if you don't think you know a whole lot, there are categories you've just grown up with or lived your life around, and that TV show you are obsessed with might come up that night and nobody else has seen that show on your team, and you'd get to answer that question and that'd be the highlight of your week. So I'd say go to have fun. Trivia is the second reason of going. If you go to have fun, meet friends, you can even just join a random team. The trivia crowd or group in general is very friendly and accepting, and it never hurts to have extra players on your team. So if you just go out, meet new people, ask to join a team, I do it every week. It's a blast to have fun, meet new people, talk to them for an hour or two, get to know what they know. They'll teach you stuff. When questions come up that you didn't know and they got it right, they'll be able to tell you and teach you that about that question or topic.
I thought you were going to say it's a great place to go and have a drink with people, or possibly meet a member of the same or the opposite sex that you might be sexually interested in. Are there a whole load of babies that come out, that are born like 9 months later after going to quiz nights?
That's something I have no idea.
I say this, Jeff, because I remember once reading that art galleries were an ideal place to pick up somebody because everybody's defenses are down and you can legitimately ask somebody a question about the piece of art that they're looking at, and it doesn't mean that you're hitting on them. So I'll put it to you, sir, that, you know, if you're in a mood for romance and you don't want to join Tinder or Grindr or something or another, you know, going along and just joining a random pub team could be an ideal way of meeting your partner.
It could be. Yes, that is definitely true. I mean, meetup.com has post trivia nights all around the cities and all across the country. I mean, I wouldn't go specifically with the idea to meet somebody, but
no, I just say it could be like
it could be if you join the right team and there's, yeah, if you guys had could have, if trivia is your similar interest, is also another way to start conversation. But I wouldn't go specifically to look for a partner, but it can happen. Yeah, if you join random teams and there's somebody else with your same thought process, going out with friends, having a fun night, that's how they get their friends to drag along to third wheel for them, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, there's multiple reasons why you could meet somebody at a trivia night.
So just before we go, Jeff, tell us, if somebody just wants to join a quiz night anywhere around the world, what's the best way of going to find out where there might be a great trivia quiz happening close by?
Best way, go to Google, type in your city name and trivia night. You'll get a bunch of results of local articles that advertise local trivias. Meetup.com, like I mentioned, you can just search trivia and it'll find trivia places within a few miles of you. There's a few websites like Pub Quiz Index also lists a bunch of them. I mean, Google is the best way to find out trivia in your city, and it'll tell you which nights of the week and what starting time it's at, and it's a blast. It's a ton of fun going out to trivia nights.
And lastly, which was the first Southern Hemisphere country to win a gold medal at the Winter Olympics?
Interesting. Australia.
Boom. Well done, sir.
Oh, no way. All right. Educated guess.
Well, I've learned a lot, Jeff Carter, from listening to what you said today and putting those little clues in the title, you know, in the question.
Yep. South American eliminates a lot of countries for me, so.
Well, there you go. So, Jeff Carter, thank you for coming on to Friday.
No, thanks for having me.
And sharing your love of trivia. It's been highly entertaining to speak to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on, making useless knowledge useful.
You said that before. That was too neat, too pat. Well done.
I don't think, no. I was having a conversation today about useless knowledge, and somebody gave me an example of somebody who had a ton of useless knowledge versus somebody who had a ton of knowledge about pop music. Who has the most useless knowledge in that scenario? The person who has a ton of useless knowledge in a random category, or somebody who has useless knowledge in a bunch of categories? So which one has the most useless? Which one is the most useless? The one that has the most knowledge about random useless knowledge, or the one who has the most knowledge about a useless topic?
You stumped me. You know? It sounds like a heavily philosophical question wrapped up in the front end of it. It sounds like totally disposable.
In my opinion, I'd say the person with the most useless knowledge in one topic is the most. But I mean, it's just a different definition of most in that case. But I'd rather be the person who has the most useless knowledge in a wide variety of categories, because it's more likely to come up and be useful. There you go. Tying it back into the original close.
And I've gone quiet because that's a great end. Perfect.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This month's Agora Network featured podcast is American Biography, a podcast by Thomas Daly, which is dedicated to examining the lives of important and influential but less discussed Americans who played an integral, if underappreciated, role in the evolution of the United States. Now, Thomas is somebody who I'm somewhat in awe of. He has got a brain the size of a planet, and he's a rather clever and engaging speaker. So if you want to delve into American history, and don't just do the big rock stars of it, your Roosevelts and your Lincolns and your Washingtons, I highly recommend this podcast. It's called American Biography. Go and find it on a podcatcher of your choice. I want you to want me, but you just wanna love me by the day, and I can't just walk away. Even though I know you trouble, babe, so I will take my time. Going slow, can't get too involved. You have a face that I just can't say no to. Just can't say no to you. You know I want you, babe. You know I do. I'll give you my heart and the rest is up to you. No good for me, I know it's true. But you don't have to pay, 'cause I do it for the thrill, for the rush. I do it for the pain, for your touch. Well, I only when it's too much. If I survive, baby.
Kevin Kellistin is better known by his stage name Kataranda. You're the One bounces and slips along. It's modern and old school all at once. It has big beats, a driving bass, and a beautiful retro synth sound, providing a backdrop to Sid's wonderful voice. Feedback, give me feedback. If you want to email me and possibly even get on the show, you can do that by emailing me at royfield@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter. I'm not great on the platform, but I am at Royfield on Twitter. And of course, you can go all the way over to Facebook and you can find Friday 15 there. Oh, one last thing. It'd be awesome if you could write us a little bit of a review on iTunes or on a podcatcher of your choice. See you all again in 7 days' time on another Friday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.